Welcome to Catch the Craze Live. I'm your host, Sam the Crazy Man Vert, and tonight we're going to be talking to Jake Adams about Cobalt and a whole lot more. Let's get it!
Show for independence all around, giving you a platform to spread your word all over town. Catch the Craze is the place to promote to your fans with the dream of Medina and Sam the Crazy Man. Subscribe to our show and never miss an episode. It's time to get your mans, listen to us on the go. Updated every week, we never miss a day. Join the squad, come on in, it's time to catch the craze. If you are an independent,
catch the craze.
Making moves on your own,
catch the craze.
On your grind in the streets,
catch the craze.
Join the movement,
catch the craze.
Yeah, George, we did it again. Come on now, yeah, you want to do it. Catch the craze.
Welcome to Catch the Craze Podcast. I'm your host with the most, Sam the Crazy Man, Vera. And I don't know what happened to George, but I'm here right now, Dolo. So, yeah, so tonight we're going to have another indie guest, Jake Adams, Tail End Studios. He has a comic book, Cobalt, on Indiegogo right now. And let's see, Cobalt has 75 backers. He's made his goal. He's got 6 days left. So we'll be talking about him, about Cobalt, very soon. But what's going down? Let's see. I know we had an early bird in the chat. You know, just want to give props to Creators Outlet. What's up, buddy? How you doing? Thanks for the support. And as a reminder, the last Kickstarters went out this week. So everybody's getting their packages. Only one remaining is going out tomorrow, which is a big one. It was from Ray's Collectibles, a comic store in California. They had a really big order. So I had to wait for all their stuff to come in. So that's going out tomorrow morning. But everybody else is out there. And if you haven't done so already, sign up for this Kneeling in My Toilet issue number 2. This one's fire. You don't want to miss this one. It's even funnier than the first. And if you read the first one, you know, one of the things that I was made aware of, that everyone's supporting a lot of campaigns. So sometimes they don't read the stuff right away. So I'd love to get your feedback when you do get a chance to read this Kneeling in My Toilet and you do sit down over breakfast and you're doing the word puzzles, the crossword puzzles, or the maze, or trying to answer some of those questions. I'd love to get your feedback. Take some selfies, send it over. I'd love to see your response for that. You know, I'm getting stuck on it. And if you haven't done so already, don't forget, sign up for the Adventures of Wonder Duck, which launches May 4th. And that is launching, May 4th. And right after that campaign ends, Disney on My Toilet actually kicks off. So sign up for that. It's going to be fun. George's been giving a whole lot of good stuff away. So check that out. And if you're in Vegas, come and meet me at the Licensing Expo 2002. I'll be at booth D104. I'll be there with my boy Johnny Syfax. I'll be getting my pitch on. So I've been working nonstop, tirelessly, between drawing, promoting the comics, doing the podcast, and getting ready for this expo. Creating graphics for the walls, because you can't use pipe and drape over there. You have to have marketing on your walls. So I had to have, they gave me the dimensions. I had to have specific custom made wall, almost like wallpaper for it with the characters. And I got a lot of great stuff coming over it. Plus I've been writing screenplays for my comic book series. So I've been just grinding, getting ready for that. I'm trying to have everything. I got prototype dolls. I got, the sample trading cards. I mean, and just trying to get everything to the printers, because the printers, they've been all acting up. They've been delaying lately. And so I'm trying to get everything to the printers between this week and next week so I can just focus on finishing up the screenplays next and my pitch deck. If you don't know what pitch deck is, join us on the Morning Brew. We'll be talking about that. And again, tomorrow morning, episode 9 of the Morning Brew. Join George and I tomorrow morning. We'll be talking about interesting topics
and plus industry related news. So you don't want to miss that. Join us tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. George the Dreamer, Medina, Sam the Crazy Member. I don't know what happened to George. I don't know if he's been abducted. I don't know if, you know, he ate something and he's, you know, tied up in the men's lounge. I don't know. You know, I don't know if, you know, he has these. You ever seen Dirty Dancing? You know, those two old ladies that take everybody's wallets. You know, George has that kind of problem. He's been, you know, sticky fingers. So I don't know if they got him. I don't know if the pickpocket squad caught him, you know, as he was getting off the bus. They say, "Soup." So who knows? It could be a multitude of reasons why George isn't here. But, we'll see what happens. And then this Friday, we're going to have Johnny C on the show from Indie Comics Relay. He'll be on the show. And then his partner will be on our show next week. So, a big lineup this week on The Craze. If you're out there, any of you watching, let me know. Hit me up. Say hello. If you have questions for our guests, don't forget to hit us up. And we'll be talking about that very, very soon. Let's see. Shout out to our sponsor, Daphne Lage. She killed it. Her campaign was the best ever, the biggest and best ever. And she did over $6,000, almost, I think, over 170-something backers. Daphne's been sponsoring our show every time she launched a campaign, and she's done extremely well. If you have a campaign and you're struggling, trying to figure out how you're going to drive and attract more backers, yeah, you can do it through, you know, by sponsorships, you know, and they're easy, they're affordable, and we play your videos, you know. He's like, "Sam, what are you talking about? I don't know what you mean." Well, here it is.
Do you have a Kickstarter campaign and you're trying to figure out how to get the word out? You look online and you see the competition is fierce. Comic cons are slowly coming back, but in the meantime, how do you spread the word? You worked for hours creating your campaign. You post on as many social media sites as possible, trying to get the word out, to no avail. Well, look no further. Why not sponsor an episode of Cast the Craze Podcast, the fastest growing indie podcast in the market today? That 30-second promo can get you an extra 2 to 3 backers or more. Who knows? Let's go. Hit the link below and get one step closer to a successful campaign.
What are you waiting for? Hit that link below. You know, start getting your sponsorship on. Start promoting your comic book, your book signing, your store appearance, and your character convention appearance, you know. You want to be able to get as many eyes on what you're doing to promote your endeavor, to try to increase the likelihood of success, right? It's not going to happen if you're resting on your laurels and you're praying, you know, hoping that the tooth fairy is going to come over and say, "I got you." It doesn't happen that way, homie. So, you know, there's no better way than on one of the fastest growing podcasts in the indie community right now. So, you know, I don't know, you know, we're trending on 100,000 views. And we do about, I think, 5,000 views every 3 months. So about 20,000 views a year. That's watch time, hour, minutes, so seconds, whatever you call it. So that's pretty dope. So that means more and more eyes are growing. Now, you know, the subscriber base is steadily growing, but the eyes on it, the people who are continually, 79% of the people that watch the show have not subscribed, based on the statistics and the data that we're getting from YouTube. So there's a lot of people that like it and dig it and they watch it, but they haven't hit that button for whatever reason. Maybe they don't want to create a YouTube account. Maybe just want to watch it, whatever the case is. But and then there's a lot of people that listen to us on streaming platforms that prefer, because they drive to work or whatever, they like listening to us rather than watching us, you know. And I have a hard time watching George too, you know, I'm just saying. But you know, but I like to think I got an award-winning smile. Just saying, you know, they're working on these pearly whites for a minute. But anyway, who knows? But again, promote yourself, get your word, get your name out there. There's a lot of ways. We're not the only ones, but you know, we do spotlight you in a lot of different ways. So it's a sponsorship. There's several levels of sponsorship. You can do it with just a video, or you can do it with the video and the social. So the video and the social means is we plug your video on a show, an episode, if you're doing one episode only or if you're doing multiple episodes. With the socials, we do that, plus we actually identify you as a sponsor, and we tag you, and we provide a link in our post. So we're posting that episode everywhere, and it's on TikTok, and it's on Twitch, and it's on Tumblr, and Reddit, and, you know, Instagram, and Twitter, and Facebook, and MeWe, and Getter. I mean, we're everywhere, kid. So you will be everywhere just as much as we are. So our goal is to spotlight you and get your name out there and let the world know who you are. And that's what we do here up on Cash the Craze Podcast. But yeah, so I'm excited about, this is what I want to show you. So I'm working on an Etsy store, which is coming pretty soon. But this bad boy is going to be available framed on the Kickstarter, and it will be available on my Etsy store and also on my website. So there's going to be a lot of different graphics around duty that'll be framed, but this is going to be framed. Look how thick that frame is. Look at that. Boom. This will go beautifully on anybody's wall, on that mantle above the fireplace, your kid's bedroom, whatever it is. This bad boy, if you're a duty fan, if you're a cartoon fan, you're going to want this piece. This is an iconic piece. You can adorn this on any wall. And it's going to be available on the Kickstarter, which launches May 31st. May 31st. So, anybody can grab that bad boy. It's going to be dope. But it will be available on the website in a week. And it also my Etsy page, which I'm working on because it's going to be a lot of framed art that I'm doing on Etsy. That's going to be available. And that's going to launch in a couple of weeks as well. So that's going to be pretty dope. So, so there's a lot of that. I still don't know what happened to George. I didn't get a text. I didn't get anything. So it is what it is. If he pops up, he pops up. If he don't, he don't. I don't know. There, you guys see somebody popping up. All right. So good. So I see that our guest has popped up into the waiting room. And so what we're going to do is we're going to bump one of our indie buddies out there, Joe D. McAfee. Came from the desk of a small press studio. We're going to play his bump, and then when we come back, we're going to bring in our guest. Here it is.
Hi, I am Joe D. McPhee. I am the host of From the Desk of a Small Press Publisher. And I want to cordially invite you to watch our show Saturdays at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. On our show, we will have different guests as well as talk about the comic book industry and pop culture. And every so often, I might actually do a drawing session or a 3D rendering session every here and there. So once again, I want to invite you to watch From the Desk of a Small Press Publisher right here on the broadcast channel that you're looking at, whether it be Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Hope to see you there, and make certain that you catch From the Desk of a Small Press Publisher at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Thanks.
There you go. All right. Welcome.
How's it going?
Big bruh. What's up, buddy? Love the backdrop. Love that Superman backdrop. Looks dope.
I got that at an estate sale not too long ago. So nice. On weekends, I usually go with my father, and they actually had this back there in the house for like $20. And I was like, that's a steal.
Exactly.
It's double-sided. So we got Superman from the animated series here, but we got Batman from the animated series on the other side. So I can flip depending on how I'm feeling at the time.
There you go. There you go, right? So welcome to Cast the Craze Podcast. And before we start talking about Cobalt and everything, again, congratulations on achieving your goal. Let's talk about you. So who are you and how did you get into comics?
I'm Jake Adams. I'm the writer creator for Cobalt, the helm, the head of Tail End Studio. And I got into comic books my junior year of high school. Of course, I watched all the animated shows when I was growing up, you know, Spider-Man, X-Men, Batman, yada, 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 and TMNT, of course. But I didn't actually get into comics until my junior year of high school, because that's around the time that the show Smallville was on the CW. And my friends were all telling me, dude, that show's shit. You need to get into the comics. Here's some comics. So they handed me some. And I immediately just fell in love with the stories and the characters and that more than I did the show. And so I just started collecting those and reading them when the friends would give them to me, because I lived in a dormitory on a campus. And so we weren't able to get access out to malls and, you know, local comic shops, but they would just hand me theirs that they had from home. And yeah, fell in love with them then. And then a couple years later down the road, an incident happened that we can get into later, but that led to me getting some friends. We went to Dragon Con, talked about, you know, Artist Alley and all the different creators in Artist Alley. And they were like, do you have an idea for a hero? And I was like, I do. So I gave him like the muddied down version that I had at the beginning. And that was my first time creating a 7-page origin story, which was for the character Cobalt. And I fell in love with the collaboration, the writing, being able to use your imagination, and just, you know, fell in love with it. And I want to continue doing it.
Outstanding. So what was it about comics that piqued your interest?
Mostly the art. So, you know, it's a visual medium, of course, you know, and being ADD, just bright colors and bombastic imagery just, you know, hits me. So, you know, just being able to have pages of it in front of me, you know, that really just kind of resonated with me. And then, you know, of course, stories, you know, are pretty good and everything. Green Arrow, The Long Bow Hunter, you know, different stuff from the Batman family, of course, Nightwing and Daredevil, you know, street level vigilantism is my cup of tea. But, you know, I like the big, you know, big blue Boy Scout behind me and Captain America, another Boy Scout. So those that don't really hit the line of anti-hero are more what I admire most. But my writing always falls to the anti-hero because, you know, it's, for me, for some reason, it's just easier to write somebody that doesn't have all those different stigmas of like, you have to do right. There's no gray area. Everything's black or white. And it's very hard for me to get that, you know, kind of thought process going for my characters. So I stick with the anti-hero.
Right, right. So any specific artist that pops out to you that you follow, you have to have their work if you see them in a book?
No. When I started out with comics in high school, I didn't pay attention, and this totally sucks of me, but it's what happened. I didn't pay attention to who wrote what or who was doing the art at the time. Just I followed the characters, not the ones that were creating, you know, the arcs for them. Right. But nowadays, you know, I like Max Bertolini. I like realistic painterly arts. So something like Max Bertolini, who's done stuff for Heavy Metal Magazine and Dark Horse Comics. And then Patrice Reynolds, who's done stuff for Dark Horse and others too. That like kind of realistic art style that's kind of gritty at the same time. The right. Fine line art with the bombastic colors are fine and everything, but I've started enjoying like rougher edges and stuff like that. Stuff that's not so fine lined has maybe a line's like arced off a little, you know, different just to give it a little bit more edgy or grittier look. I've really like enjoyed that kind of style now.
Right. So talk about your upbringing. Like, what were you into growing up? You know, what were some of the things that you did as a kid?
As a kid, you know, I grew up outside. Outside was the thing for us because we were still part of that generation where the parents were like, no, get out. I need alone time. So, you know, so my little brother and I, we played outside a lot. We ran with our imaginations, you know, branches would be guns or swords and stuff like that. And we just play out the shows that we used to watch. Sometimes we'd be X-Men. Other times we'd be Beetleborgs, Power Rangers, you know, just shit like that. And just right. Running wild and whatnot. And then, you know, as you get older, you get into, you know, hurting each other a little more. So we got paintball guns right. And BB guns and stuff like that and mopeds. And we would like do like Mad Max scenes in the backyard with our go-karts and paintballs and try and knock each other off. And, you know, just stupid shit as kids do.
Right. So you talked about your using your imagination to, you know, to create activities.
Yeah.
How do you apply that to what you do today?
Today is more of write what you know at the moment. That's what Cobalt that's the fruition of Cobalt. So back in 2013, I had an accident where I became an amputee. And so I lost four fingers on the left hand. Wow. And so when I became an amputee, I befriended a bunch of people in what they call the limb different community. And, you know, there were a bunch of nerds and, you know, I got to nerd out with them. And that's how we came up with the idea to create an anthology for kids who are growing up with residual limb differences. And we created this anthology called Super Abled Comics. So it was aimed at kids growing up with limb differences for characters that they could relate to and kind of, you know, feel more that they could associate with, because apparently kids love being able to do that. Right. And that was my first time being able to write a 7-page origin story. And it mixed, you know, my own life trials and tribulations along that of with more of like a comic book twist, you know what I mean? And so that was the first 7-page origin story there for Cobalt. And so what happened with him was he became a drug mule for the Aranya cartel in Atlanta because he couldn't help pay his mother's medical bills anymore. So he became a runner to try and make that extra dough. And a night that he's doing a drop goes bad. He loses the merchandise and the money. And the leader of the Aranya, Esmeralda Blasco, she was basically pissed off that she lost all this money. And so as compensation, she took four fingers off his left hand. And so he goes into the whole depression thing, meets other people in the limb different community. One is an ex-Navy SEAL named Thomas Rogers that you'll meet in the stories. And that's basically a flip on the name of the guy that I met named Roger Thomas, who's an ex-military and helped me through my time of depression and trying to get through it and everything. So it is very much right what you know, but with a comic book superhero vigilante twist.
Right. I mean, it takes a lot of courage and a strong willpower to be able to figure out how to flip it. Because you know, your whole life, you know your form, and then it's altered. And then I can't imagine what that does to your psyche. How did you pull through? And then what was it about comics that you felt that was going to be your outlet?
Family and friends were really the rock, man. That's it. I just had a good support system. I got a prosthetic hand, you know, a bionic hand that's fully mechanical and can move around and whatnot. It's actually charging up right now. But so I got that. I got to become an ambassador for the company called Oser. And so I get to travel around and talk about my experience with their product and how it helps me in everyday life. And then I get to talk to others and try and help them realize that prosthetics help them. So I talk to people who just lost their limb, like who were in the same position I was in. And so I try to give them comfort knowing that there's light at the end of the tunnel and just keep moving forward, man. Because at the end of the day, you have two options. You can either bitch about it or you can have fun with it. Right. And, you know, the friends that I had who were nerds and like making comic books basically like pulled me along and said, hey, dude, here's a good outlet if you want to try it. I tried it and I fell in love with it and I haven't looked back since.
Wow, that's fantastic. You know, it's interesting because, you know, growing up, you know, I remember when we first saw, you know, Luke get his first prosthetic and we're like, whoa, what the hell's that? And then today it's you see it everywhere. You know, it's a way of changing a lot of people's lives. They're able to maintain their lifestyles, sports, whatever it is. What was your adjustment period to the prosthetic?
The adjustment period to the prosthetic. Hang on one second. Somebody's moaning in the background. I'll be right back.
No problem. Again, we're talking with Jake Adams about Cobalt, which is currently on Indiegogo. The link is in the summary. Check it out if you haven't done so already. Oh, look at that. Hey there, buddy.
Yeah. This little guy is Wesley.
Wesley? What's up, Wesley?
Yeah. It's like I've never been on stream before. Yes, you have.
He's like, who's that hairy beast on the camera? Yeah.
The adjustment period for the prosthetic wasn't that difficult because there is only 3 months between my amputation and getting access to a prosthetic, which is very rare for amputees. Right. And so my prosthetist and the company Oser, they were a blessing, falling from the heavens. So it very much helped me with my adjusting to being an amputee. But I mean, there was still, that 7 stages of grief they had to go through, but that's all for your own mentality and trying to, work through the trenches. But, as I said, I had a good support system. My girlfriend was with me through it, through thick and thin. Of course, my brother was there, my parents, my friends. So it's just, everybody's time frame is different when it comes to something like that. It's loss. Psychiatrists rank it on the same scale as losing a sibling or a loved one. So right. if it's that strong of a mentality to lose a limb, everybody has their own time period to adjust. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes, it goes on longer than you would want it to because
most definitely.
Because, there are moments where you're just by yourself and then you have that memory, right? You look down and whatever it is. So that's, I always tell everybody, I said, you can't put a time limit on grief. You just got to let everybody just go through the process. Right. So that's fantastic. So tell us about that moment that you were sitting there and the idea for Cobalt just struck a chord.
I always I always enjoyed writing short stories and whatnot. In grade school and high school, my favorite pastime was either being in the drama team or English class, being able to write our own stories, just anything, just let your imagination run wild. You'd read a book for about an hour and then the teacher would give you that, that little thing of where you have to, write a story afterwards and whatnot. And right. So I just went, balls to the walls with it and mixing stuff up and whatnot. And it was always fun to me. I never had a problem doing it. It's just, when you get out of school, other stuff like real life starts taking place and you don't really have time for it anymore. Yeah. But so I always had ideas of how I would do certain TV show episodes differently. Like how many times I wanted to adjust Smallville while I was watching it, or how many times I wanted to adjust, Breaking Bad or other things. Everybody bitches about the last 2 seasons of Game of Thrones and what they would have done differently. So yeah. I was always in that boat too, but I never had an outlet to do it. And when I was approached by my buddies to make the anthology, my first story, I went straight for it, man. And when I created it, I know it's exciting to make a book. And so when I created that, I handed it to Travis Rivas, who was the editor for it and, the head of the anthology. And he was like, dude, this is enough information for a full issue. You need to break it down to 7 pages. And I was like, but I want to tell all this stuff. And he was like, break it down, man. So he was like, just get to the meat of it, the meat and bones. I was like, well, all right. So this is what happens. This is how it happens. This is the beginning. And just started moving the different pieces of the puzzle around to make it 7 pages. And I fell in love with the man. It was nerve wracking, but it was fun at the same time.
Right. So when you created the character, did you see him in the current look that you had for him, or how did that evolve?
No. So this character design right here was the aftermath of a little sketch I had a friend do for me. I can't draw for shit, so I had my friend's wife draw up the first character concept for Jesse Jensen / Cobalt. And I gave her the details of I want him to use tonfas, which are the billy clubs that police use that have the extra extended arm on the side, not just a full little baseball bat. but it has that little arcing piece on the side to make it like an L. And so I was like, I wanted to use two tonfas. I wanted to have an elevation mask, kind of, you know, like that Scorpion Sub-Zero looking mask. Right. And I wanted to have Josh Brolin hair from Deadpool 2. So short on the sides, a little bit wavy on top. And I wanted to be in like a tank top shirt, fully white with black stripes on the side. And then just, you know, a regular utility belt, I guess what you would call it. And then just black military pants and military boots. He's going to be very much street level, very raw, nothing too fancy. And when she gave it to me and I saw it, I looked at it and I was like, she put him in the tank top, but with like a hood, with a hoodie. And as soon as she handed it to me, I was like, that looks a lot like Jason Todd. And so I was like, all right. That's cool. I love it, but it just needs something more. So I gave it to another friend of mine who is an artist and is limb differ also. His name's Ryan Rosenau. You can find him on Instagram, and he's a great artist. And he made that character concept for me. And I gave him the same outlines that I gave Gwen. And immediately he was like, hey man, do you want the tonfas and stuff to look futuristic and everything? And I was like, yeah, I do. I want to put them in a cyberpunk neo-noir type Atlanta. And I was like, I don't want it too heavy-handed of cyberpunk. I want it to be like, you know, breadcrumbs, a trail of to what this futuristic lifestyle could be for Atlanta and, you know, company ensuing. And so he drew that up for me, and I fell in love with it. I was like, that is Cobalt. And that seeing that just, again, lit the fire again to, you know, make more content and everything. And, yeah, man, when you see your actual character come to fruition and you see those lines and colors and you just fall in love with it. I loved it. It was awesome.
Now, so the concept artist, was he the same as the interior artist?
No. My concept artist hasn't really done anything because his new job has kind of like taken the forefront. But my interior artist for Cobalt Atlantis Thrashing and Cobalt Death Stalks Us, his name is Erwin Arosa, and he lives in the Philippines. All right, you calm down. And so he lives in the Philippines, so we've been doing everything over Facebook Messenger and Google Drive. And his art style is that gritty stuff that I wanted. Because a 7-page origin story was very much fine lines with bright colors like anything mainstream would be, like Marvel or DC. And I enjoyed it. Jacob Newell was a great artist. He did great for my first 7-page origin story. But after that, I was like, I want to go more adult themed with it, make it a little darker and grittier. And so I put the ad out on Facebook groups of different comic book Facebook groups. And everybody was submitting their artwork. And I was just like, this is all good, but it's just not resonating with me. It's not hitting me in the feels like, you know, like I want it to. And so I was about to pull all the ads from the different groups. And then Erwin just slams down some art right there, right before I pull out. And I fell in love with him, man. His art is so beautiful. In Atlantis Thrashing, he does this splash page where Cobalt's looking over a corner where the Thrasher gang hangs out at a place called Engage. And the neon above the gritty dark elements of the corner of Atlanta was so awesome. People loved it. They were like, you need to make that a poster or a metal print. So this time around, we made it a poster print that people could get on the campaign for Atlantis. I mean, for Death Stalks Us.
So walk us through the first, your script writing. Where did you learn how to – do you use the DC format, the Marvel format? Are you loose with your writing? Do you write it where you have, you know, page one, four panels, panel one, where you provide all the details? What's your style like?
Very much written like a screenplay. So, yeah, I make it page one, panel one with caps or Jesse's caps or, you know, Esmeralda. Who's saying what? How the setting's supposed to look? And just, you know – doing that for panel by panel. And I like doing that But sometimes I want to write it out to, I guess, the Marvel style, where you just write a page out of what you want to see and then let the artist take over and put what needs to be in what panel. Right. But very much wrote it like a screenplay for, you know, no more than, you know, 7 panels per page, and, you know, trying to make it to where the art speaks more than the actual characters. And so it's fun. It can be tedious, but it's fun as hell, man. I love it.
Right. So, and what's the communication like with you and the artist?
Oh man, we're so in sync. So I gave him the script for Atlantis Thrashing, and the only note that I gave was, when he's Cobalt, it's dark and gritty as hell. There's no sign of hope, no white light, nothing. But on the flip, when he's with his family and his friends and his little brother Isaac, very much flip that contrast. I want it to be bright. I want it to be warm, inviting. I want them to know that this should be the path that he takes, but the path of vigilantism is the one that calls to him, that draws him. And Cobalt is very much just as much a character, the name, as it is the person who dons the suit, because Cobalt is an element within the lithium ion battery that helps power prosthetics. And so Cobalt, without another element hitting it and making that chemical reaction, it doesn't turn blue. It's a very much brushed chrome look, or dark gray. And then if you add another chemical compound to it, only then does it become blue. So you get that from his suit. You get the kind of like chrome plated, you know, stormtrooper mesh plates that are all like white, kind of chromium bright. And then you get the little bit of blue in there. And then you get, just from the waist down, nothing but dark gray. So, Cobalt, the element, it's also very poisonous to the touch. So that falls in line with how poisonous the life of being a vigilante is, because you lose all the friends and family on this journey. There's no, the idea behind a superhero or an antihero or a vigilante is, for a vigilante and an antihero, is you never actually win. You just keep going forward because you have no other option. Right. And that's very much in line with what's going on with Jesse and what's basically going to happen to him too.
Outstanding. So I'm going to pull up your campaign. So tell us, again, congratulations. You know, you are funded. 75 backers. This is your second campaign. So why did you choose Indiegogo over Kickstarter?
We did Kickstarter, the group did, with the anthology for Super Abled. But when I started like looking at other indie creators and whatnot, the ones that I spoke to first, they were all like, dude, do Indiegogo first, because they don't take as big of a chunk. It's easier to use and stuff like this. So I was like, all right, I'll give Indiegogo a try. This is my first time actually launching a campaign, not just adding my story to somebody else's, you know, anthology. Right. And I was a part of it, but I wasn't running it. So either way, it was going to be my first time learning how to maneuver through, you know, setting up your own campaign. But I chose Indiegogo, and I mean, it's done well, so there's no reason to really look elsewhere.
Absolutely. All right. So tell us about what tiers you have and what people will get from backing Cobalt.
Okay. So the first tier there is the featured tier. It's in case you missed it, it's both the physical copies of the first issue, Atlantis Thrashing, and the second issue, Death Stalks Us. And of course, you get two sweet little chibi stickers of Cobalt.
Nice.
The next one is Digital Fragment 2.0. Of course, that's the digital PDF file for Death Stalks Us at $15. And then there's the In Case You Missed It digital tier, where you can get both the Atlanta Thrashing and Death Stalks Us PDF at $25.
Nice.
Physical Fight speaks for itself. It's the physical copy of Death Stalks Us along with two chibi stickers at $25. Be Vigilant, you get the physical, you get the chibis. but you also get this sweet 16 by 20 poster art of that splash page that everybody fell in love with in Atlantis Thrashing. So it's pretty, big.
Nice. Well, sweet.
But you can see that art at the bottom of the campaign page too later when we scroll down on stuff. But next up, it's going to be Take My Hand, no pun, but Take My Hand at $100. So in this one, you get the physical copy. Pardon me, the chibi. You calm down. The chibi, he's just excited that I'm reading off the tears. There you go. but within this issue of Cobalt, for $75, because the book's $25, for $75, you can get a full-page ad space for whatever you want to promote. Hopefully, comic book that you're making and going to be launching soon, but anything really.
Right.
And then the next $100 tier, that's the highest tier on this whole thing, is $100. The last one is the name's Cobalt, and this is the sweetest deal you can get. You get the comic book, Death Stalks Us, you get the chibi sticker, the 16 by 20 poster art, and then you get this 12 by 18 metal print by Adam Miller of Cobalt.
Sweet.
And a new character named Oren in the middle of Atlanta and in the area that's now known as Hell's Playground.
Nice. 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 Now, is your interior artist also coloring it as well?
Yeah, he does everything. Yeah, it's all digital. He's insane, insanely good.
Yeah, sweet. That's fantastic. Yeah, the artwork is beautiful.
Yeah, that piece there is the Adam Miller metal print that you can get at the $100 tier. And then that chibi sticker there is by 6AM Comics. And if you were on the mailing list for Death Stalks Us, you're going to get that chibi as a refrigerator magnet, and you'll be getting two of them.
Nice.
I know.
That's a great shot right there.
Yeah. So that's the 16 by 20 poster print that you can get.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. This piece here was a collaboration piece between Talon Studios and Dojo Kun Comics' Brian Menard, the one who created Siamese and To'u Ro'u Tales. Yeah. And Janice Hardy's The Healing Wars, book one, The Shifter. So yeah. This piece here has 17 different characters from 15 different creators from different indie IPs. So, of course, you've got the Embrace there at the top right corner from James Dean and Michael Oden. Next to him is the Boss from Company Men by Kemosabe, Lee Byron Carver. And then there are many different others. There's Siamese, of course, by Dojo Kun Comics. But if you backed both his campaign and mine at a physical level, you calm down. At a physical level, you would get this poster print along with your backing.
Nice, nice. Right, so this is where I give you the screen and you give the elevator pitch and let everybody know why Cobalt and where they can find you. So it's all yours.
Sure. So for anybody that enjoys street level vigilantes, anything like Daredevil, Green Arrow, Moon Knight, Hawkeye, the Bat Family, of course, and any of those kinds of characters, then this is definitely going to be a book for you. It just takes a little twist on it and making it more cyberpunk and neo-noir with the coloring and the setting for Atlanta. But it also is going to entangle not only the technology, but superpowered beings also, and seeing how the technology is able to be used against them, and if we can actually take down super beings. And so if you like, cyberpunk has such a large spectrum, anywhere from Alita Battle Angel all the way down to the Super Mario movie. But it lies right in there with Blade Runner. So that's about the kind of style you're going to be seeing for a Cobalt. If you want to see the upcoming of a new vigilante who's got to learn how to not only be the hero for Atlanta, but also be the sole guardian and provider for his 12-year-old brother, Isaac, and how to balance out that lifestyle, this is definitely going to be something that you're interested in.
Outstanding. And where can people find you?
People can find me on Instagram or Twitter at these two tags here, Bionic Bruh or Tail End Studio.
Outstanding.
Thank you, brother, for being on the show. Much success to you. I mean, you're killing it anyway. So so if you're out there right now, the link is in the summary. Go hit it up. And just a creator's outlet said Cobalt is amazing. And RVA-NI said, what's up, everybody? So thank you again for being on the show. And we look forward to hearing from you in the future.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Good luck to what you're doing.
Thanks, Matt.
And that was another episode of Catch the Craze. And that was our guest, Jake. And that was Cobalt. A fascinating story. Not only the comic book, but his story is amazing as well. So go check it out. The link is in the summary. Again, another indie creator that is doing it right. Top-notch quality, great production value. All amazing. So with that said, don't forget The Adventures of Wonder Duck. If you haven't signed up already, go and hit the link in the summary. Launches May 4th, the day after George Medina's birthday. So go ahead and sign up for that. And don't forget that The Dandelion in My Toilet launches May 31st. All the packages for the first Kickstarter already went out. So a lot of you have been receiving it. And so sign up for number 2 that launches May 31st when I get back from Licensing Expo in Las Vegas. So with that said, I'm Sam the Crazy Man Vera. This was another episode of Catch the Craze. Thank you all. If you are watching and you haven't done so already, because there's 79% of you that watch but don't subscribe, please do. Please subscribe today to the show. You know, when we grow, everybody grows, and more eyes on the show, that means more eyes on our indie creators. So with that said, have a blessed evening, everybody. I'm Sam the Crazy Man Rivera, and I'm I was talking about my friend Aquis. I met him.
Say my name.
Right.
This is what you were thinking?
Oh, he described me. He said, I'm the...
You're listening to Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze.
Bobby. J&D girl.